today's scripture reading is from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 11. So if you'd like to turn there with them. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines.
Amen.
I'm not reading it
in Japanese. How's everyone doing? Good. Let's all just, why don't we stand up and greet our neighbors and bless our neighbors.
You don't have HBO. You checking those fights out last night?
No.
I watched the game a little bit myself. I don't know if Ron State was gonna pull it out.
Man, I didn't see. I just saw the score. It looked like it was a tight one.
It's a good game. Good game. Real good game.
All right. It's getting cool, huh?
Yeah.
Football weather.
Summer is over, football weather, and just a reminder, we're going to have a picnic in a couple Sundays, so hopefully you guys could all come out. We'll have a good time. But we're going through a series on spiritual gifts and serving Christ. And just serving, learning to serve. Jesus taught that to be great in the kingdom, we need to serve. To be great, He says, be a servant of all, just like the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And so, this is a worthy cause. If anything, if you become great at anything, become great at something that has value. Right? You know, in where we live here in America, we have a lot of great athletes. And because being a great athlete here has a lot of value. It might not have a lot of value somewhere else, but here in America, if you're a great athlete, it's you'll get compensated, you'll get paid with a lot of money and sometimes a lot of prestige, glory, all the perks that comes with being famous and being an athlete. But Jesus says, if you want to be great in the kingdom, He didn't say become an athlete. He didn't say become rich. He didn't say get several degrees, get your doctorate. He said become a servant of all, which we can all do, right? That's something we can all do. You don't need to be gifted to be a servant. You just need to be willing, humble. And if you do that, you'll be great in the kingdom. And it has far more value to be great in the kingdom than to be great anywhere else. Amen. So we want to learn how to serve like Christ served. And how did Christ serve? He served us in many ways, but he served us through his spiritual gifts. That's not the only way he served. But I believe in the scripture, if you read the Gospels, what's recorded a lot is him serving us through his spiritual gifts. And today, I want to continue to talk about our spiritual gifts. And we read earlier, it says that we are all given a gift. Let me read that again. It says in verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and every one of them, it is the same God at work. And it goes on to say that all these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. And so there's a distribution of the Holy Spirit's gifts within each and every one of us. That's what the Bible teaches. There is a distribution of the gifts to each and every one of us. And it says if we use these gifts, I believe the body of Christ will become a thriving church, a thriving body, and it will bring unity. And the scripture says when there's unity, then the world will know that Christ is Lord. And so even though the Spirit gives these gifts, Paul later on says, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. So it's a both giving by the Spirit, but desiring by us. And I think the church, we really need to believe that. I think sometimes it's easy for us to passively want the gifts. Say, oh, that's a nice gift. And sit and say, well, if the Lord wants to distribute it to me, then he will. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches clearly that we should eagerly desire spiritual gifts. And so I hope that after this series that we would, and even during this series, that we would continue to seek God's gifts, to ask for it. Just simply ask for the Lord to give us the gift, and it says especially the gift of prophesying. Let me just pray before I go on any further. Father, we do pray that you would come and you would stir in our hearts, Lord, a desire to serve others, to serve you with the gifts that you have given us. And Father, give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding to your word, Lord. We pray, Father, that as we hear your word, we will humbly obey, Lord, to seek and eagerly desire it. And Father, that your Holy Spirit would just empower us, even today, Lord, that you would impart to us some of these gifts. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And so, can you go down to the list of gifts? Yeah, one more up. Yeah, so, yeah, this one. So, these are the 9 gifts listed in this chapter. These are not the only gifts. This is not a list that lists all of the gifts, but it's a good list. We talked about wisdom and knowledge, faith, healing. And if you want more information about that, please go to our website and listen to my message online. But today we'll talk about miraculous powers, distinguishing spirits, tongues, and interpretation. And we have a special guest. Well, he's not a guest, but we're going to ask Gordon, who is gifted in evangelism, which was not listed in the 9, but it is listed in the Bible. But Gordon is going to share about evangelism, and hopefully we will be imparted with the gift of evangelism, because I believe Gordon is gifted in that area. But we'll talk about miraculous powers. And I left out prophesying because I want one Sunday devoted to that, because Paul specifically points that one out and says eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophesying in 1 Corinthians 14:1. But yeah, we'll talk about the other ones first and then prophesying later. Anyways, Hito, can you turn it to the miraculous powers? Last week we talked about healing, And healing is something that doesn't happen instantaneously. For example, if you have a nagging injury that just doesn't seem to heal, the gift of healing will release healing in your body so that your body could naturally do what it's meant to do and heal itself. It's just as spiritual as much as it is physical and emotional. Miraculous power, though, that's when it's instantaneous healing. If you've seen someone who is blind, deaf, or just can't walk, and they're prayed for and they're immediately healed, that's miraculous powers. I think that's the distinguishing factor between healing and miraculous power. And I also think miraculous power, there's just a whole bunch of things in the Gospels and in the Bible that I think falls under miraculous power, such as walking on water. I've not seen anyone walk on water, but I guess if you're going to try, you're supposed to walk really fast. No, I'm just kidding. Other miraculous powers that we see in the Bible, well, we don't see in the Bible, but I hear of these things recently, is what they call creative miracles, where people have been surgically have their knees healed or their hips healed and have metal in it, and when they're prayed for, the metal dissolves. I've heard of these accounts. Personally, I've not seen it, but I've heard of it, and I've seen video of it, and I'm just going to go with that. Miraculous power also includes, I believe, the multiplication of food. We see that in the Gospels, right? Jesus multiplied the fishes and the loaves. But you hear that account as well in third world countries and a lot of these orphanages where they don't have enough food. But miraculously, there's enough food to feed all the children. You hear these accounts, and that falls under miraculous powers. I don't operate in this. I would like to, but I'm eagerly desiring it. We'll see what happens. The next one I want to talk about is distinguishing spirit. And this one is the ability to distinguish spirit, whether something is from God or whether something is from the flesh or somewhere else, another source. For example, there was a revival in Toronto called the Toronto Airport Revival, I believe that was the name, and the Holy Spirit began to manifest itself in different ways. Some of them were genuine works of the Holy Spirit, others were not. The trick is, though, if you don't have the gift of distinguishing between spirits, it's easy to be critical. Distinguishing spirit is also very useful when somebody is coming to you and is trying to act genuine but has ulterior motives. It's good to have a distinguishing spirit. Being critical and being able to point out everything that's wrong with somebody else, that is not distinguishing spirit. That's the gift of having a critical spirit, which is not from God, which is from another source. But distinguishing spirit is something from God, or is it from another source? I read this story in this book by Randy Clark. For those of you who don't, Randy Clark is one of those guys who does operate in the miraculous power and healings and these other areas. But in his journey, he wasn't born with these gifts, and he wasn't born operating in these gifts, but he started to seek after it. And he heard of this teacher named John Wimber. And so he says, he decided he needs to go to one of these conferences where John Wimber is teaching. And he calls the office, and the office lady says, well, the next place it's going to be is in Tulsa. Oh, look at that, Tulsa, Oklahoma. For those of you who don't know. But anyways, this was going to be at a church called where Rodney Howard Brown was teaching at the time. At that time, Randy Clark heard negative reports about this church, and he really didn't want to go. He was a conservative Baptist, and he heard different things about this teaching, but he didn't want to go. But he was eagerly desiring the gift of operating in healing and miraculous power, and so he decided to go. And let me read from his book. It says, three others from the church went with me to Tulsa. The church held 4,500 people. The evangelist Rodney Howard Brown was teaching. While he was teaching, a woman was laughing with the most false-sounding laugh right below me in the balcony. If you've ever been to a charismatic church, you know what he's talking about. I was thinking, why doesn't he get an usher to shut her up? But by the time he finished teaching, I was on edge and was also quite upset. I was thinking this meeting was really out of order, and that ruined my whole evening. And even though many people fell and a lot of stuff happened, I wasn't sure if this was real or not. I didn't know any of these people, and for all I knew, they could have been the overly emotional type. I wasn't convinced at all. So what was going on was Rodney Howard Brown went to this conference. The Holy Spirit was manifesting itself, but he was very critical. And what set him off was, I guess, a woman that was laughing throughout the whole teaching, and it just sounded really fake to him. You may say, this man has the gift of distinguishing between spirits. This story is to show that, no, this was not distinguishing spirit, but just a critical spirit. It says, the next morning, Rodney got up and said, you know, sometimes people laugh out of hurt, or immaturity, or because they need attention. Sometimes they laugh and it's not the Holy Spirit. They may laugh in the flesh because they need help. If things get too bad, we'll take them out of the meeting. If they are really laughing in the Holy Spirit, they'll keep it up and they won't care who's watching. But if it's in the flesh, they'll soon stop. Now I want to say something to some of you who got angry last night because of what was happening. You moved into anger and judgment, and that's your flesh. From God's perspective, your flesh stinks more than that flesh, because yours is the flesh of superiority and judgment. And Randy Clark sat there and was just, you know, he was convicted by the Holy Spirit. So all that to say is, when it comes to distinguishing spirit, it is being able to tell what's from God and what isn't from God. But the true gift of distinguishing spirits isn't necessarily to distinguish the two, but it goes a little further. It's able to see what God is doing in that person's life. Not just the negative stuff. Anyone can see the negative stuff in somebody else's life, right? I mean, we're born with that. We're given that for self-defense a lot of times, right? The gift of the Holy Spirit, though, it allows us to see what God is doing in that person's life. For example, when Jesus comes to Peter, he doesn't say, you're a wishy-washy guy. You know, he doesn't say, you're really hot sometimes, but then at other times you're really cold. No, he says to Peter, you're a rock. And is able to distinguish that. He calls him a rock before he became a rock. Another example is Gideon. Angel of the Lord comes and he sees Gideon. What's Gideon doing? He's hiding from fighting. And he calls Gideon mighty warrior. Eventually, Gideon does become a mighty warrior. Eventually, Peter does become a rock. Having the gift of distinguishing spirit is not only seeing the bad things. I mean, we could all do that again. But it's seeing what God is doing amidst that. Being able to see beyond our own flesh. Moving on, the gift of tongues. It's speaking in another language, either an earthly language or a heavenly language. And Paul says the gift of tongues is a sign for unbeliever, and I believe it's a sign for unbeliever when it's used correctly. For example, in Acts 2, the gift of the Holy Spirit comes upon the saints that were praying, and they all started speaking in tongues, in different languages. And what happens? Immediately after that happens, people start making fun of them. But Peter stands up, explains what's happening, and then people came to know the Lord. Amen? Tongues can also be a negative sign. If for some reason the Holy Spirit just hit us right now and we all started speaking in tongues, and nothing is explained, nothing is interpreted, it will be a negative sign. If an unbeliever were here, they'll be like, these guys are drunk, these guys are crazy, I'm going to leave. And they'll probably have a bad experience. But if it's used correctly, explained, interpreted, it will lead people to the Lord. It's a sign that's supposed to lead people to the Lord. It's also, personally, I've been praying in tongues. Did that shock any of you? No?
Amen.
Amen. All right, good. I got two. and I'm going to do a little experiment. I pray for you guys. You know that? Namiko, it's like I know you because I pray for you. I pray for you every day, almost every day. I'm being honest. I don't pray every day, but I try to pray at least 5 days a week for every one of you by name. That's my job. I'm going to do a little experiment, though, if that's okay with you. I used to pray in English for you guys. and I used to just pray, powerful prayers for you guys. No, I used to pray for you guys. But I want to take the month of October and pray in tongues for you guys. So I don't know what I'm praying. I'm going to say your name, and then I'm just going to let the Spirit just work through me praying in tongues. After October, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to see if anything changed. If anything is changing this month, please come up and say, wow, please encourage me. Or just say nothing's happening, and then I'll start praying in English again. But I want to see the power of praying in tongues. Anyways, Paul says praying in tongues also edifies the believer. So if you pray in tongues, just pray in tongues for yourself and let the Holy Spirit just go with it. And it's also good. The next one is if we have interpretation with tongues. I've heard stories of during revivals, people talking in languages they have not learned. For example, I heard a story where there was a young African American lady walking down the stairs, and she said something. She didn't know what she said, but a Jewish man was there, and he became a believer. And it was because she spoke in perfect Hebrew. And she never learned the language, and the Jewish man came to know the Lord because of that. And so the power of tongues is very powerful, especially if it's mixed together with the gift of interpretation. And the gift of interpretation is either an earthly language. For example, Phil, he can interpret Japanese, but also heavenly language. And a lot of times, a heavenly language, it comes in different forms. For example, it comes in the forms of dreams or visions. The Holy Spirit, He does not only speak English. In fact, the Holy Spirit likes to communicate to us through pictures. You guys heard the phrase, a picture is worth a thousand words? Is that the right word, phrase? But yeah, the Holy Spirit knows that. And so a lot of times He'll speak to us, not just in words, but in pictures, because that's actually a higher form of communication. You see this also in the Bible. There was a time when Jeremiah, he's given a picture, and he says, what do you see? And he says, I see it. I won't give you the exact quote, but it was basically like this. He said, I see a watch. And then God says, exactly, because I'm watching over Israel, kind of thing. It was a picture he saw, and then he gives them an interpretation. The gift of interpretation is being able to see what the Holy Spirit is trying to communicate to us and understand it and communicate that. And we'll close with the gift of evangelism. And we'll have our friend Gordon come up and share on evangelism. So if you could welcome Gordon up.
Thank you, Pastor. It's so good to...
Oh, just leave it up there.
Leave it up there. Yeah. Okay. It's so good to get up on Sunday morning and go to church. Unfortunately, the last several months, I haven't been able to do that very regular, but it's good to be here today. Praise the Lord. And it's a great honor, privilege that Pastor Aki asked me to speak to you today. But I'd like to start off with a Bible verse. I have a new Bible, giant print. Proverbs 11:30. Proverbs 11:30. Even with a giant print, I better put these on. Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. I think that word he includes all genders, both genders. But most of you have heard my testimony, so I'll be very brief on that. I was a backslider for many years, over 20 years, and came back to God at the age of 40. And when I did that, I asked God's forgiveness for a whole lot of stuff. I had a peace that I'd never had before. Had a song in my heart and a smile on my face, and God gave me that love and peace and joy. And I got into church, and one of the adult Sunday school classes that was available was a soul winning class. Well, I thought, I'll take that class. I wanted to win souls. And it was very helpful. And I started looking for opportunities to share with somebody and win them to the Lord. But I have to be honest with you, those first few years, I didn't have very much results. Perhaps in a period of about 5 or 6 years, I won maybe 2 or 3 people to the Lord. But in retrospect, I know why I wasn't real successful then. I didn't have enough of God's Word in here and up here. But I was reading my Bible and studying and learning. But a big turning point for me came when our new pastor preached a sermon, and he gave us a challenge to pray what he called a dangerous prayer. In other words, just tell God, I'll do anything you want me to do, no matter what. I'll go where you say go, I'll do what you say do. And it's not really a dangerous prayer at all, because it's far more dangerous to be out of the will of God than it is to be in God's will. So I prayed that prayer. And shortly after that, God started opening the doors for a jail ministry. Very soon after that, he started opening the doors. Forgive me, my nose drips. The chaplain invited me to become a... excuse me, also I have to clear my throat once in a while. Forgive me. The chaplain at the jail invited me to become a volunteer, where after some training, I could go in among the inmates. And I didn't want to do that. To be honest with you, I guess I was scared, because in my mind, prisoners are bad people, they're dangerous. I just sort of shrugged it off. But as time went by, God reminded me of my dangerous prayer. And I realized that's what God wanted me to do. And thank God for His word says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I knew He was going to help me. Once I come to conclusion, that's what He was telling me to do. I knew He would help me. So I called up the chaplain and enrolled in the training. And my very first time to go in among the inmates was with a group to sing Christmas carols and pass out cookies. And it was Christmas 87. And it was a lot easier to go with a group that first time. But when I saw their faces, oh, thank you very much. God bless you. When I saw their faces, when I saw the tears in their eyes and they expressed their gratitude, my fears just very quickly disappeared. And shortly after the holidays, I think it was January 4th of 88, I went in solo for the first time. I was nervous, but I wasn't scared. And just after maybe two or three visits, people started to get saved. And I had learned some Bible verses to use, and people started to get saved. It's a great feeling to see someone come to know the Lord. It really is a wonderful feeling. And it just makes you want to go out and do it again. But over a period of 22 years, I saw hundreds and hundreds of souls come to Christ. It's amazing what getting the rest of it will do to people to make them more open to the gospel, you know. One young man just walked up to me one day and says, "I want to get born again." Well, within a few minutes he did, after I shared a few verses and led him in a prayer. And there's lots of stories I could tell you about the jail ministry or some foreign trips that I made. But don't have time for that. But one quick little story. I went to visit a young man one day who had already gotten saved, but he was being transferred to the state prison. He'd been before the judge. The judge pounded his gavel and all that stuff. So I went to say goodbye and pray for him and encourage him. And while I'm talking to him, I looked over nearby. There was a young man looking out through his cell door. And the expression on his face was just like he was begging me to come over and talk to him. So when I finished with the first guy, I went over to talk to this young man. And guess what? He didn't speak English. Only Spanish. And I know very little Spanish. A few words and phrases. The Spanish word for Bible is La Biblia. So I said, "La Biblia." Well, he turned around quickly, and behind him on his little tiny desk, he picked up a small Spanish New Testament that someone had given him and brought it back. And I just started looking at Bible verses. I'd point to it and he would look it up and read it. And then I'd look up another one and showed him maybe about a dozen verses. And then I looked at Revelation 3:20, where Jesus said, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will go in and eat with him and he with me." So I pointed to that verse and he read it. And as soon as he looked up at me, I went like this. And he understood what I meant. So he bowed his head and he prayed out loud in Spanish. I didn't understand his words, of course, but I know God did. And so far as I know, I never saw that young man again after that, but I know someday I will see him again. Thank you. So, that was a very good lesson to me. God showed me by that experience that it was not my ability to go yakety yak. It's God's Word and the Holy Spirit that touches their heart, you know. There's power in God's Word. And so I memorized some verses. Well, I took another soul-winning class, which was training for those foreign evangelism trips I went on. But I memorized a lot of verses. And if you're not good at memorizing, don't worry. Just open up your Bible, read it to them, you know. At the jail, I learned to read upside down pretty good. I'd sit down with a Bible turned this way, and I'd point to it, and I learned to read upside down pretty good. But there's power in God's Word. And so I would like to encourage you to pray a dangerous prayer and to say to God, "I'll do whatever you want me to do. I know you'll help me." And it's not really dangerous, like I said. To be in God's will is the safest place to be. And I would like to pray for this congregation, that God impart the spirit of evangelism to others, not only this congregation, but all the churches of the conference, and I know that, like the pastor told you, he gives different gifts to different people, but yet all of us should be prepared when we have opportunity to know how to tell someone how to get saved. And I would like to share a few of those verses that I pointed to that young man. And I usually start off with Ephesians 2:8 and 9. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." The next verse, I like the next verse. It says, "For God created us in Christ Jesus to do good works." And Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." All means everybody. And Romans 6:23 has good news and bad news. It says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." I like the good news. The gift of God is eternal life. And Romans 5:8 tells us that that Christ died for us. God commends His love toward us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. A little analogy I like to give to inmates. It's like standing before the judge for sentencing, and the judge pounds his gavel and says, "I sentence you to die." Then he takes off his robe and says, "I'll take your place. You can go free." I never heard of a judge doing that, but that's what God did. Forgive me, my lips get very dry sometimes. But here's what Jesus said that we need to do to be born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "I tell you the truth, you must be born again." I forgot that when I had it memorized, but that's paraphrasing. Jesus said, "Verily I say to you, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus didn't understand what he's talking about, and so Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, unless a man is born of this water and the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And then Jesus said, John 3:16, you all know that, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So, to be born again, simply speaking, we need to believe in Jesus. Jesus also said in Mark 1:15, "The time has come, the kingdom of God is near, repent and believe the good news." So there's more to it than just believing in our head. We've got to repent and of our sins and get Jesus from here into here. Repent and believe the good news. And 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And the Bible uses "if" and "but" a lot. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. And a very important scripture is Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the NIV quote. New King James says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And John 1:12 says, "Yet to all those who received Him, to those He gave the right to become children of God." I'm not sure I quoted it exactly correct, but we got to. I'm going to break that if I'm not careful. But we need to receive Christ. "Yet to all who received Him." Suppose it was your birthday, and I brought you a big birthday present all wrapped up with a ribbon and all that, and I offered it to you, and you said, "No, I don't want that." Then it wouldn't be yours. But if you reach out and receive it or take it, then it becomes yours. So we need to receive God's gift. Does that make sense? So we do need to receive God's gift. And Jesus said, Revelation 3:20, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will go in and eat with him and he with me." And perhaps there may be someone here today that's Jesus is knocking on your heart. You know you're not right with God and Jesus is knocking on your heart. And if that's the case, I would be happy to lead you in a short prayer. Anyone here hear Jesus knocking? Is he in there already? Okay, well good. Praise the Lord. But I would like to encourage you to become soul winners. And I would like to, let's pray and ask God to impart the gift of evangelism to people right here in this congregation. And if you feel like standing, you can stand and or just remain seated. But let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you that you are a mighty God who loves us, who hears our prayers. And nothing too hard for you. You created the universe and everything in it. Absolutely nothing too hard for you. The Bible says through God all things are possible. And we ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, to impart the gift of evangelism to people out here in this congregation and throughout the conference, Lord. Just give us all the boldness that we need and the power of the Holy Spirit to just share the good news of Christ to others and to become soul winners. And I thank you for this congregation and the many souls that have come into the kingdom of God over the years. And we do believe that your coming is getting very close. And we have many loved ones. And I pray especially for all of our families, our relatives and loved ones that do not know you, friends and neighbors. And we ask you, Lord, to move upon their hearts in a mighty way, that they will come to Christ and be open to receive the gospel and send someone to them to share the good news of Christ to them, to share the word of God with them. And we thank you for your word that says, when two on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. So we all agree in Jesus' name for the salvation of our families, our relatives, our friends, our neighbors. And Lord, our families are our relatives, that's an event, that's a harvest field, and our neighborhood is a harvest field. So we pray, send workers into the harvest fields to preach the good news of Christ and win souls. And I pray for America, and I pray for Japan. I pray for all the people that you move on the hearts and minds of every person to come to Christ. From the White House to the people on the streets, move on each and every individual heart that they'll all recognize any Jesus in their lives. And Father, thank you for hearing our prayers. And thank you, Lord Jesus, you said, whatever you ask in my name, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. So we all ask and agree in Jesus' name. For thine is the kingdom and the power forever and ever. Amen. God bless you.
Yeah, if you heard Jesus knocking on the door of your heart, you know.